Welcome to the Friends of Zane Adams, aka FOSA podcast, bringing awareness of postpartum depression, suicides, and the children who are left behind. We'll be spotlighting positive outcomes from mothers as well as healthcare experts and counselors. Would you know the signs of PPD? Would you know how to help a loved one? Stay tuned. As a community, we can do more to support maternal mental wellness.
Welcome, FOSA fans, and thanks for joining in on a new FOSA podcast. This is Paulette Smith with episode 31. I want to thank you so much for your continued support, and I want to ask if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube podcast channel, please do it now and click on the notifications button to get an alert for every new episode. You're helping us grow in our efforts to bring more awareness to postpartum depression, the prevention of maternal suicides, and educational support for the children who are left behind. Before proceeding, I need to say a few words about triggers. This is a safe place. However, we may discuss topics that can be sensitive and may act as a trigger for some members of our audience. The content we discuss serves to provide information, education, and advocacy only. If you are experiencing an emergency, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 988. If you're not experiencing an emergency, but you're still seeking consultation, please check with your doctor or your professional caregivers. And if you still feel as if your voice is not being heard, please do not give up seeking help. Visit us online at FOSAInc.org. That's FOZAInc.org. And we'll try to assist you in finding resources in your local area. You're not required to provide us with any private or sensitive information. Now, this podcast is going to be very special because it touches on so many topics that we love to discuss in the way of getting help and resources to our moms and birthing people. If you're a true FOSA fan, then you've been with us as we've discussed the challenge of bridging the gaps in communications and the referral process between medical professionals and maternal mental health professionals. We know from conversations with countless moms and even the professionals themselves that there are barriers to accessing the appropriate care for maternal mental health concerns. Well, today we are honored to have with us Amy Green. She's the CEO and founder of Mamaya Health, located in Nashville, Tennessee, and most especially serving birthing people around the nation through their growing virtual therapy programs. Now, Amy is a licensed clinical social worker, an endorsed infant maternal mental health specialist, and a certified perinatal mental health professional. So I'm not going to keep you waiting because I'm so excited to have Amy share her vision of bridging the accessibility gap with virtual therapy. So here she is. Welcome to the FOSA podcast, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, very, very blessed. Thank you. We are so thrilled and honored that you've joined us. Your personal journey is so brave and so powerful. I don't even really want to hesitate in getting the audience to get to know you. I know you probably already have a strong following, and it's going to grow. I just want you to go ahead in your own words and kind of share with us what you will about how you came to providing your services.
Sure. So I am the founder and CEO of Mamaya Health and Nashville Collaborative Counseling Center. Mamaya Health particularly is a women's health-focused virtual counseling platform, and we specialize in pregnancy, postpartum, infertility, and loss counseling. My journey to getting to a place where this is a solution that I knew was needed came from my partner, Isaac, and I had three different losses before we had our first daughter. And I had been working in social work. I'm a social worker and was trying to just, you know, figure out where to go to get some help. I had a pretty just abysmal experience with the doctor who disclosed in front of a waiting room that I was miscarrying. And, you know, mm-hmm. he was like, you can go home. You know, here are the signs to look for. If you continue bleeding like this, then you need to go to the hospital, et cetera. But like, you know, this should resolve on its own. in front of this waiting room where other women who were pregnant and other women who, you know, were navigating their own journeys, sat and heard, you know, my personal, very private information. And I was, you know, both appalled and also just so devastated and gutted. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should advocate for myself or if I should, you know, run to the bathroom and cry. I didn't know what to do. And so I went home and did my own healing work and tried to just, you know, find my own peace, find my grounding again. And in trying to find healing, I tried to find a therapist that specialized in maternal mental health. I identified as a mother, even though I didn't have a living child. You know, here I was that I had carried, you know, a baby in my belly, and that baby didn't make it Earthside. And I wanted to be able to be seen and to have a space to talk about that. And I couldn't find anybody. This was back in like 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. And it was lonely and isolating and just really hard. And so I ended up, because I have, you know, my parents would have told you that like I probably should have been a lawyer at different points in my life, because I have this like righteous anger. Like if something is not okay and feels unjust, I just get pissed and I want to fix it. And that's ultimately what happened here. I was looking for help and I couldn't find it. And I was like, this is not okay. I'm going to be a part of the solution here. I'm going to go get trained in maternal mental health, and I'm just going to become a therapist for all the people. And quickly then realized that, you know, there's so much need and I can't help all the people. And so how can I create a platform, a resource, a community, a village that can support women who are navigating, again, this reproductive journey that we all go on at different points if we want to, you know, build a family. And that's what led me to Mamaya Health and has brought me here.
Wow. Such a story. And when I first heard your story, first of all, condolences on your losses.
Thank you.
We always say here that you're a mommy for sure, and you have a right to feel like a mommy, whether your baby is in your arms or in your tummy or in your heart. You are a mother.
Yep.
And we have had several speakers come on that I wish were there for you when you were going through that, because just the journey that you've taken, coming from your own experience, putting you in a place where you can help others. It's powerful and it's needed, as you said. And you talk about why stories and statistics matter. And we started Father from that feeling of being lost and being alone. That is one of the reasons I found Father, because I was just clueless about what was going on. The sudden death of Christina just froze us in space there for a little while, and then you get that feeling that you know you're not alone, and this was in the middle of pandemic, and so I couldn't really find a lot of resources. I put it down because of that, but then I realized that there just weren't enough resources. So we're so proud of you for what you do. You talk about the 75% of women who really don't receive the correct treatment and how they need adequate screening, and that's what you guys do, Dear Mamaya.
It is. You know, I mean, I think that it's interesting. I was at South by Southwest. I'm a part of, I got this really awesome opportunity to participate with the Wondery, which is an entrepreneurship center at Vanderbilt. And I got a scholarship as part of their entrepreneur programming there to go with them to South by Southwest and do customer discovery work. And so I'm like on the streets at South by Southwest talking to women about their, you know, how they're utilizing women's healthcare now. What does it look like? What does the landscape post-COVID look like? And how are we engaging in you know, when we're pregnant and in postpartum or navigating these journeys, what are the services that we go to? And it was interesting because that statistic of 75% either don't receive support or don't get support, like they just don't reach out for it, is still true. And 25% of women utilized mental health care that I did customer discovery work on. 80% of women utilized lactation support. And it's fascinating to me because, you know, of the 25% of women that did reach out for a therapist, many of them had been on a mental health journey prior and had been already engaged in therapy, and that was normalized to them. But there were so many more women, 65% of the women that I interviewed, definitely said that they had some type of postpartum depression or anxiety during pregnancy or postpartum. Like, that's definitely part of what they experienced, and they acknowledged that. But And that's where I get curious, because I'm like, what are the barriers for us as women to get the support, to say, I need help, to reach out, to understand where there are resources? And, you know, it was fascinating to me. Most turn to their family and friends and partners, which is amazing. And, I mean, thank God for our villages. But, yeah, there's still this, and I don't know if it's a stigma or a barrier. I'm curious about diving into that more, like what prevents folks from engaging in taking that very brave step to ask for, you know, mental health support when you know you're struggling, because we all deserve that support.
Right. We realized since we started FOSA that many professionals don't get support, many professional therapists. And you brought up a very interesting point when you said, well, why don't they? We even have a podcast that is entitled that, Why Mommies Don't Speak Up When They're Feeling Down. And we listed out some of the reasons. Everyone's an individual. And so nothing can really be said that about one person that might be true about another. It might not be true. It might not be her situation. But in general, that's why we came up with the saying that we wanted to, you know, stop the stigma and the shame and the silence that kind of goes into the suicide, because we believe that, as you have written in your documentation, 80% or more of deaths due to a postpartum depression are preventable. They could have been avoided with the proper mental health care.
And part of, like, the proper mental health care means that we're not isolated, right? That we are in community, and that we're able to find and create safe spaces to talk about this, and that, you know, the people around us, again, if it's the family and the partners that are supporting us, that they're aware and knowledgeable and being resourced as well on what those red flags are, how to look for them. And that's part of the work that we're doing, right? So we have a provider education platform. So we reach out to providers, and we work with them to train them on how to screen, assess, and refer. So what do we look for when a mama or her family come into, you know, the OBGYN journey? And what are those red flags? When a mom reaches out, what are they trying to say? What are the cue words that moms say? Because it doesn't always sound like, hey, I'm depressed. You know,
right.
Like, maybe it's not that obvious. Maybe it's a mom saying, you know, I have to weigh my baby after every single feed because I'm so nervous she's not getting enough, right?
Right.
And it's like, okay, tell me more about that. Is there anxiety that's underlying and feeding some of that? And how can you be supported in that journey while also still learning how to feed your baby? Because this is a new skill for all of us. And so
yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's fascinating to learn from these providers, just again, like, how can we empower them in their journey? How can we support them with training and understanding this, and then create a really seamless workflow that works with their current workflows to get that referral over quickly so that that mom and that family member can get access to care? And then on the client facing, or the client facing side, we want to create a hub that provides this, you know, educational center and seat so that not just the client, but the family, the friends, the community that wrap around us when we give birth and become parents in this world, that they're also resourced and supported. We go home with these packets from the hospital. I always like giggle about this because Isaac and I went home with our packet after we had our firstborn. Her name's Kinley. And I mean, it is filled with all kinds of things. And I can't tell you how much of that ended up in the trash. But the one thing we kept was the emergency number thing that had poison control and 911, and, you know, you write your pediatrician's name and your best friend's name and, you know, family member, whatever it is, who are the contacts? And we put that sucker up on the fridge, and it was there. And thank God we never had to use the poison control or anything like that, but it was there in case we needed it, and that was always such a, you know, just a peace of mind. And so we create things like that, so these, like, magnets or tools like that, so that, again, like, those family members can just have a quick reference point when they're looking at their family member and saying, something's off, but I don't know what it is. You know, here's a reference point to just go check in with yourself about.
Absolutely. You know, you were talking a little bit about the fears that moms have in speaking up. And we found in our research that many moms are a little bit fearful because they feel like they're what we call on the edge of eligibility. They don't, no one likes rejection. No one likes to hear no. No one, especially when they're already feeling low. And if they feel as if they're not going to qualify for a certain kind of service, or they're not going to be heard or understood, or they're not eligible in some way, they hesitate. They try to fix it themselves. And wondering yeah. if you get moms like that.
Yeah. I mean, so part of our commitment is creating access to care. And access to care and mental health is its own beast. There's so many regulations that we work through across the country, whether it's, you know, state-by-state licensure laws or insurance regulations or, you know, virtual and telehealth parity laws, all these things that dictate and determine how we provide care and who can provide care. In that, we've really resourced ourselves with, you know, just trying to find the best of the best and the experts who are passionate about this. We have an amazing, amazing legal team that we work with at Epstein, Becker, and Green. Her name's Rachel mm-hmm. Snyder-Good. She's like a powerhouse in her own right. But she specializes in behavioral health and telehealth laws, right? And so she helps us to develop our state-by-state strategies and helps us to figure out when we go to the next state, how do we enter that state, and how then do we provide care and create access with our current contracts? I mean, mm-hmm. folks like that resource me to help us to steward this and walk this forward well, but it is, right? The barriers are so real for patients all across the country because you want to be able to just pick up a phone and know that you're getting an appointment that day or the next day. You want help in that mm-hmm. moment because that's when you're, you know, that's when you're like, you finally have figured and mustered that courage and that seat of yeah. bravery to say, hey, I need help. And so yeah. our job and our responsibility is to make sure that we answer those phones and that we are saying, yep, let's go. We got you. And empowering folks then with also, like, how much is it going to cost out of pocket? How can we be very transparent about that cost of care? Because that's a big deal for folks right now.
Yeah.
We also want to make sure that people understand what their journey is going to be. So, okay, so from here, this is what your intake appointment is going to be like. This is these are the paperwork and forms you need to complete. You know, just everything that we possibly can to ease that journey, especially if it's a person's first time to mental health care. We want to make sure that that is a very nurtured and held experience and that people feel like they are
safe.
Feeling like they're held, safe and held gently through that, right? And that they're not experiencing more stigma or more shame or that we become the barrier. So we work really hard. Right now we're in Tennessee. We have a goal to expand to at least 7 new states in this year. And then beyond that, we're able to provide coaching to folks who live outside of those states that we cannot, that we don't have licensed therapists located in right now. And we, again, work really hard to make sure that if people are entering, that they, even with coaching, that they have access to sliding scales and deep sliding scales, that there is a point of care and someone is answering and engaging with that person.
Excellent. You know, I knew when we first started talking that we were so in alignment because even though FASA does, we don't really supply therapists or put them in a place where our moms can access them, we go to the places where they are and make sure that our moms, if they are calling someone, if they're trying to speak to someone like your services, that someone's answering there and someone's giving them encouragement. And as I said, one of the things that I find when I'm talking to moms is, do they feel safe? And each one has each one has her own feeling of safe, what safe means. So not everyone feels the
safety
same.
Safety is defined differently.
Right, yeah. In the same place. And so many contributing factors to postpartum depression or feeling down or not feeling yourself having not necessarily anything to do with actual hormones or physical feelings, medical feelings, some having to do with what's going on around you. Like, you know, do you have a roof over your head? Do you have food? Are you able to care for children that you already have? What's contributing to you being down? But I like everything that you say when you have the take action part on your site. Engage, act, connect, and therapy, the four actions that you'd like for people to take. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, again, so much of what I found is that we need to create a village and be our own boots on the ground, especially as women. Like, we are going to be the creators and the healers for this generation and the generations to come because we came together as women and solved this problem, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say this problem, I mean like the problem that is maternal health, the problems that are women's health, the problem that is that suicide is the top reason that people pass away in the first year after childbirth. Like, there are so many really just, I don't know, not acceptable ways that healthcare has provided to us at this point. And so we are going to be the ones that steward and walk that forward. So many challenges and so many misses, you know, really sad misses that then create a trauma narrative for someone, right? And so, like, we can do better. We can do different. And there's so many different ways that each of us can be involved in that from our own seat. And again, from my seat might be very different around what energy I have to give towards something or what financial resources or time or any of that, right? But the invitation is we all have a voice. We all can participate. Here are the different ways that we can participate, right? So we like to engage. So whether it's sharing your story, our stories and our voices matter. When we stand in silence and stand in isolation and keep our stories to ourselves, first off, we prevent our own healing. We heal in relationship and community. When we tell somebody, hey, I'm hurting, somebody else is probably going to come in and say, hey, I've hurt like that too. And that is a point where we start to break the silence, we start to heal together, and we start to feel less isolated and alone. So sharing our stories matters. All of our voices need a seat at the table. And breaking that silence is important.
Yeah.
Acting, we can talk about, you know, whether it's advocacy work and, you know, there's marches on the hills for women. There are all kinds of very important things happening across our country right now, especially politically in regards to women's health care. And so regardless of beliefs, how can we engage in what, again, feels authentic and true for us to ensure that, again, these generations that come next have access to appropriate levels of women's health care and have access to making decisions about their bodies and don't find themselves in situations where they can't make a decision in an empowered way because there's limitations for themselves, right? Connecting is always really important. So learning more about both services, connecting and talking about your own, if you've gotten mental health care, like normalizing that and reducing the stigma around that and being part of spreading awareness around the statistics that exist for women's mental health and why these statistics exist and what solutions then exist, which is right where therapy comes in. So whether it's scheduling a session for you because you're looking for a therapist and you're taking a brave step because you want support and help, or whether it's advocating and helping a friend and sitting with them in their, you know, in their point of decision making and trying to help them get connected to care, all of those things matter. And so whether it's engaging and sharing your story, whether it's acting and, you know, advocating, whether it's connecting and sharing statistics and talking about this very, very, very much needed vital issues that we face in women's health, or whether it's, you know, going to therapy or helping family and friends get connected to a therapist, all of those things matter.
Absolutely. I just love the way you've brought everything together with your passion and what you want to do with your organization to help others. I'm sure that you're going to get everything you need that's going to help you open up your seven new states and all of the states in the United States. The only way to do it is the way you've gotten together and done it. I want everyone to go out to your site, take a look at Mamaya Health to, you know, to go ahead and learn more about your services. But I want you to tell our audience the best way that you like for them to reach out. And I wanted to mention, because I know they'll see it there, but you mentioned it earlier, that you have a medical referral portal and that you have ways and advice for physicians to come onto your site, and you tell them clearly what they can expect and what they can do to help their clients. It's so welcoming. But go ahead and tell our audience the best way to reach out to Mamaya Health.
Sure. So if you're a client or a patient or have a friend or family member who is seeking counseling and support, on our website, www.mamayahealth.com. It's Mamaya like papaya, MamayaHealth.com. You can click on the buttons, either find a therapist or schedule today, and it's going to take you to the links that are going to then prompt you as far as what are is it commercial insurance that you have, is it sliding scale, et cetera, and it lists some of our therapists so you can see their faces and learn more about them. And if you're a provider, there is a button on our website at the top called Make a Referral, and there's a form that you can fill out, and we will get your patient connected within 48 hours and be back in touch with you as well so that you can make sure that you have the information that you need around the patient getting scheduled.
Excellent. When I went onto the site, it does bring about a feeling of safety, and it brings about a feeling of professionalism, and I'm hoping that it's going to be just one of I saw you had a lot of resources out there, just one of many resources that the audience can go on and find, in especially in your way of articles, the resources that you have on, very open, very transparent, and very helpful and good reading. So I'm hoping that they're going to take advantage of this. I have enjoyed being, can you believe that we're coming up on our time. Time goes so fast. They say when you're having fun, but especially when you're giving good information, because it's just never enough, as you said. It's never enough. We can never say too many times, be your own best advocate, but you're not alone. There's plenty of information. Of course, we have Fossa Finder, and we can go a little bit further because we don't ask for any personal information or anything that would be, you know, considered restrictive or anything like that. We only ask for name, email, and the type of service that she might be looking for, and then we go out and provide a list, and we hope that that would get her further along. What you do is just so much deeper, so much better, and so much in a way that a woman can decide, yes, I do want to wake up tomorrow. Yes, I do think I'm enough. Yes, I do believe that there's hope, and I don't have to feel so alone. So, Amy, I know that we would love to have you come back on again, especially as you grow in the nation and as you open up your, you know, your therapies, bridging the accessibility gap with virtual therapy. And I know that you're a member of a lot of the organizations that FASA is a member of. So we look forward to your success and your growth. And we can't tell you enough how honored we are to have had you here. And it's just wonderful what you do. So we're going to look forward to having you back again so you can, you know, keep us updated.
I'm so grateful, and the honor is all mine, truly. I am very thankful to have a space to talk about my babies and to have them live in the world in this kind of a way. And thank you for helping me to spread awareness about the work we do at Mamaya Health, because my hope is that, again, even if one woman hears this, that we are able to help that one person. And so I'm deeply, deeply thankful. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much. As you say, just one, if just one gets it.
Well, that's it for this episode, FASA fans. And I hope each listener who's an advocate for maternal mental wellness will visit Amy's site at mamayahealth.com and connect with her on social media as well. We'll be following along as Mamaya Health grows across the nation. Until next time, this is Paulette Smith, signing off in loving memory of Christina LaShawn Thompson Adams. Bye-bye.